celebrate 50 years of Macca's with the custard pie and birthday McFlurry.
It's Nick, Jess and Ducker. Welcome to the podcast.
And guys, Ben Affleck's done something that I think is always going to be a high-risk move, but he's done it with a lot more resources and money.
Back tattoo. Big back tattoo.
Oh, the whole back. Yeah. That weird coloured phoenix tattoo as dragon well. Thing. Yeah.
Sure, that's a high-risk move, but he's decided also for J-Lo, he was going to give her a gift, right?
Yeah, it was her 52nd birthday recently.
God, she looks good.
But gosh, she's nice.
Jeez. But instead of buying it, he thought he would make it.
A very wealthy man.
Bit of pasta art.
Instead of purchase. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, what do you give someone who seemingly has it all and could buy anything
What do you
herself?
Give Jenny from the block?
What do you give Jenny from the block? Don't be fooled by the rocks that she's got.
No.
She's already got rocks.
She's got rocks.
She's already got rocks.
She's been in the block, so she knows. She's been around.
100%. Yeah.
Now, I can't remember if it was a bracelet, a necklace, or a watch, but the thing is that he didn't do the pasta art thing or the paper mache head or anything like that. Instead, he got a specialist to hand make her something special that he had designed.
Okay. I like that. I like the sentiment. I love that Angus designed the ring. Probably wouldn't have loved it as much if he had made it. Wouldn't have been as good.
I know.
He's not a jeweler.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know. But it is always dangerous because people who sell you stuff, normally they're quite good at making whatever it is they're selling.
Yes.
But I remember growing up, I would have been 19 at the time. I'd been playing guitar for maybe 6 months or so. And I thought,
nice,
perfect opportunity. Instead of buying a gift to my girlfriend at the time, I can make one, guys, out of thin air by writing her a song.
It never goes well. You guys know my song I gave Morgan.
147 days.
And it was horrible. It was a horrible song. She had politely said it was beautiful. We played it on this program in our show, and it's just horrific.
It lives on a podcast somewhere if you want to go find it. Ducker refuses to ever play it again.
It's so bad.
We tried to get it played at your wedding, but no.
Yeah, thank God that didn't happen. I was going to walk out then and there.
So 6 months into your guitar career.
Yeah, it was called Beautiful Song for Beautiful Girl.
Oh, that is gorgeous.
Now, the band that I was in about 6 months later, we then refashioned the song and recorded it properly. So I've got a recording of the
Shut up.
Oh, yeah.
So your archiving is out of this world.
And this should be played on our radio show, not in the podcast. Don't be hiding this in the podcast.
Yeah, that's not fair. Don't go play these 147 days.
Yeah. No, because see, this is still heinously embarrassing, but I need to put in perspective how much less embarrassing it is, right? Because 6 months have passed, other people have helped write parts of it, and then we recorded it in a proper studio. I need you to picture how bad this would have been where I was sitting on a bed and she was sitting on a chair in front of me. And
Did you sing it at her?
And I sang it at her live.
Horrible.
How long had you been dating this girl?
About a year and a half.
Okay. Yeah, love of your life.
And was it her birthday present?
It was her birthday present.
Oh,
for
you
Sam.
Bastard.
And here it is. It was called Beautiful Song for Beautiful Girl. Enjoy, guys.
I can't resist her, a night on the town. And you always insist that my hand should be bound. And just try as you might.
Nice to see.
It's not my favourite song
in the
world.
It's not catchy. It's not jumping, is it?
No. That's not you singing. That's your mate.
No.
Are you on the guitar?
Yeah.
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 How did your girlfriend take it?
You know when someone's singing you happy birthday and you don't know how to have your face?
Oh, my God. Like in the work office party.
And you're awkwardly looking around, half smiling,
like,
half
do I
like,
join
can this
in?
End?
How do I make this less uncomfortable?
And everyone's looking at you.
Yeah.
Luckily, I was so bad at guitar that I had to really concentrate on what my hands were doing. But every time I looked up, she kind of readjusted her face quickly from that not knowing how to have your face to a soft smile.
Yeah. And were you riding a moped at this time in your life?
Absolutely, I was.
Okay.
Okay, so a combination of the moped, the singing at her.
She was lucky to escape.
Yeah.
Hey, hey, she was nearly with me for 7 generous years.
Wow.
Really? You were someone for 7 years before
that
you were Georgette.
5 years after this happened.
She stuck by him.
What
she
the hell?
Potential.
Surely not.
So uncomfortable.
Have you ever made Georgette a song like this? Because she deserves a bit of the Nick Gill love.
I did write her a song to get proposed to.
Oh, yeah.
But I had been
Did it feel cheap and dirty for her, though, that she was getting a sloppy second?
Yeah, secondhand song.
Like you'd already given your, you know, lyrical prowess to another woman.
And was it a parody song, like proposed to? A bit of radio gear?
Well, Georgette has only recently passed that girl for time spent dating me.
Yes!
And so you will remember on the show I gave her a trophy.
That's right.
Longest relationship ever. But look, I had 20 more years of songwriting underneath my belt by that stage.
Yeah,
a bit better,
better
at the guitar.
Which again, it was only very slightly better.
She said yes this one.
But she said yes.
Yeah, you're very lucky.
Yeah, probably just the last line of the song, which is, "Will you marry me?"
Yeah.
She's like, shut up, stop singing yes, quickly. Guys, something probably more incredible. I went to Pillow Talk the other day. Obviously
the pillow shop.
Yeah.
Did you lose a bet with your wife? Or
no,
like...
we both have to go. It's a shared task that we are both heavily invested in more.
Of course.
I'm going to call you Morgan just then, Jess.
I know you went on a weekend away together.
I told you that when the limbs are flying, you don't know who's...
Where. Here in the darkness.
What were you in the market for, Ducko?
We were getting a
don't
new...
Don't say pillows.
A new boomerang pillow cover. You know those boomerang pillows, those cuddle pillows?
Oh, cute!
Yeah, we needed one of those. It was very old. We needed
a new
cover.
Is there a baby on the car?
No, I use it at night. And, yeah.
To just cuddle?
Yeah.
You've got Pam and Morgan there.
Don't you? I spoon Pam on one side, then I roll over my boomerang pillow on the other.
Yeah, but you're an overheater, aren't you?
Yeah.
So you probably can't have another body heat that close to
And Morgan
you.
Doesn't want me too close to it because I'm very hot in bed.
Right.
Pam doesn't mind.
Boomerang pillow.
I'm a boomerang
so you've
pillow.
Worn down the cover.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was, very yellowy in the middle.
Yeah, save that bit of audio, though. I'm very hot in bed.
It's yellow in the middle.
Night
anyway, juices.
We're in Pillow Talk, right?
Sorry, Ducko, go on. Buying a new boomerang pillow cover.
There's a lot on in this chat already. I've called Jess Morgan. We're talking about night juices.
Why are your night juices leaking on your pillow?
You know how it is? Sometimes the tap doesn't.
You know why? Because he's so hot in bed.
Sometimes the tap doesn't turn off. You know what I mean?
Oh, God.
You know? If you don't shake well enough, I've heard that can happen.
And don't use toilet
they're
paper. It's embarrassing.
They're day juices.
What are night juices, Gilly?
Yeah, what are night juices in your bed?
Walked into that.
I don't know if my mic's working.
Anyway, I was in Pillow Talk, right?
Right, we've established that.
Yeah. So niche, that product. Anyway, I'm glad. For anyone out there, if you're in the market, Pillow Talk stocks them.
Yes. Yeah. And I saw a couple. They were near us. And I was obviously eavesdropping. There wasn't many people in the store. I was very bored. and the couple were talking, and it was a guy and a girl, right? And she was like, "Babe, which one do you want? Because they're looking for pillowcases." And he's like, "I don't care." She's like, "No, what color? This is important." And he's like, "What about that one?" "No, not that one." He goes, "All right, why don't you pick out?" Because there was a couple. He's like, "Why don't you pick out your top two? And then I'll choose from there." And I was like, that's a good response from him.
I do like that. We try often do that with like, what do you want for eat Friday takeaway? Give me two options and you pick the one.
Yeah.
You know, whittle it down
yes,
for us.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So then she picks out the top two and he goes, that one. She's like, "Oh, really? You want that one?" But then he goes, "Well, okay, that one." She goes, "Oh, I don't know about that one either." And he's like, "Why did you give me the choice?
I said top two."
Yes.
You cannot win.
You can't win.
With the takeaway thing, it's very much like, "What do you want for takeaway, babe?" And it's like, "I'll have whatever." It's like, "Great, let's get pizza." "Again?"
Yeah.
"Okay, not pizza, that's fine, we'll get Thai." "Oh, I'm feeling like something a bit lighter."
Yeah.
"Okay, maybe we could get some Vietnamese."
Yeah.
But see,
maybe we could get Chinese. Sure.
You could
have said Chinese.
You just say from the get-go.
My issue is, why did she drag him there? Because in the flip reverse, Angus does this for me, tries to include me in household decisions. We're trying to spruce the house up before we sell, so we're doing a bit of painting.
Yeah.
And he drags me to Bunnings because it's our house and it's our decision and it should be a joint thing. And I pick out my little, you know, sampler from the jewel luxe wall and he goes, "I'm like, why did you bring me here if you don't think my..." And you know what? One time he listened to me, we painted the whole pergola and it was so gross. So, I get it. I can't be trusted, but don't drag.
And what's the right thing to do in that situation? Because I'm the same. Like, you know, Morgan will make most of our household decisions and I'll just echo in support.
Yeah.
But what's the right thing to do for that bloke? You know what I mean? Does he just, like, how do you win in that situation?
I think that a good method, because I think this is often a case with, like, what do you like out of these two dresses? Which one should I wear?
Oh, yeah, that's a tough one.
I think you go, just really subtly, just like, oh, which one do you like?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then... And then go, yeah, I agree.
Or do you give compliments on both? Like, that one would look great on you or look good because of this, but that one also, I love when you wore it that time for this.
But then we'll get mad that you're not helping. You know, you're just creating more of a problem. I sometimes have given two outfits, but one's really gross and one's good. But I just want the validation that he picked the one.
You're setting up for failure. What if he
picks
the gross one?
But then he picks the gross one. And I'm like, well, this, again, don't involve your partner in these things. We try and do everything joint.
Yeah.
Just because you're married or in a relationship does not mean everything has to be a joint decision.
Yeah. I know, like, Georgette, like, she pretty much planned our wedding. I tried to be involved because I felt as though I should. But then there were times where she's just like, I really want you to be involved in this planning, you know. You know, what should we do for the flowers? And I'm like,
yeah, because you don't care.
I have no idea. And she's like, yeah, but, you know, we should. This should be a collaborative process. And I'll be like, some roses? And she's like, for a wedding?
Ours was the exact same. How could you?
We want to know, when did you use something that was not for its intended purpose?
You got creative.
You got creative with maybe just an everyday item.
Yeah.
Maybe it was not so everyday. I don't know. Just let us know on 131060 because Jess Fox, the golden girl, finally, after 9 years of trying to get Olympic gold, after winning 7 world championships, has finally realised her dream in the canoeing yesterday. Absolutely smashed it out of the ballpark.
Time is looking strong for Jessica Fox. One gate to come. Fox is flying towards the line. Is this the moment she's dreamt of her entire career? She hits the line. She's got it. She has shined like gold to become the Olympic champion. She is a wonder water on the woman on the water. What a performance.
That's incredible. Right, the C1 slalom champion now at the Olympics, got the gold medal. But what we didn't know was that she does kayaking and canoeing as well. And she had to fix her kayak with, how do I say this at this time, with little ears?
A
prophylactic?
I think it's a rubber.
I mean, that's a technical.
It's a technical term for it.
Sure.
And now it's not just, you know, for sexy time. It's also an apparatus used to fix a kayak.
It saved the day in another way.
It saved the day in another way. Put that on your box, Trojan.
Yes.
What?
Trojan is a brand. And that's a good motto for...
That's a good get. I didn't know Trojan was a brand.
Yeah, Trojan, like...
I'm just used to the ones you get at the servos in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh, because they come out individual.
Night Rider.
No, not Trojan.
Trojan. They're the big ones, aren't they? That's why we haven't heard
You're conquering the Trojan horse.
Anywho.
Save the day in another way. Durex, Trojan, whoever Durex wants to snap it up first, I'll take $50.
Anyway, in a viral TikTok, you can see that this dude, I don't know who he is, he's putting like this carbon fiber paste on the front of her kayak where there's a hole. And then to get a smooth finish, he gets the Trojan and throws it over the nose of the kayak.
Yeah.
It is so satisfying. It like almost sucks to the front of the kayak. And apparently it's very stretchy and very strong and very tight.
Because she put like a hole in the front
put
of
that
the
on
kayak.
The box. Yeah. How do you get a hole in a kayak? Have you bashed it against something?
Yeah, well, maybe. You're getting beaten around a fair bit.
Oh, you didn't use the bang plate, Jess. We learned about the bang plate and kayak and canoeing, which is a protective field. It's only at the back of the boat, though.
Yes. I would feel like they had other or better resources to fix it. But the humble condom is just doing its job in another way.
Well, didn't we discuss at the start of the Olympic campaign, the Japanese Olympic Committee handing out a lot of them to make sure our Olympians were kept safe and were doing everything, you know, safely. So was there just some extras lying around? They went, this will do.
Heck yeah, there were 160,000. Turned out to be about 14 each.
Yeah.
So you might as well use one on your kite.
Absolutely. Your kite needs it. Why not?
So 131060, when did you use something not for its intended purpose?
Or what's your kayak story? Or what's your Trojan story?
Has anyone heard of Trojans?
Just call us.
We use
Maybe Angus is importing them. I don't know where he's getting them from.
So much. I won't.
When did you use something not for its intended purpose?
Yeah, we use a What do you call the belt around your waist?
Yeah.
Not a conveyor
fashion,
belt or
a
anything.
Fashion belt.
A fashion belt.
Yeah.
We use that to secure a baby gate to the side of our stairs.
Okay.
Yeah. And
are you that unhandy? You couldn't use a screwdriver, so you had to use a belt.
I didn't want to screw anything into our stair post.
Fair
enough. Yeah, that's why.
You're not renting. You can screw into your stair post.
I know, but polyfiller in that kind of wood would not be good.
Oh, be annoying. Okay.
Yeah. So true.
But Harriet gets quite annoyed because she constantly goes, "What's that, Daddy?" And I'm like, "You know it's a belt." She's like, "They go around your waist." I'm like, "Yeah, thanks. I know. Take it off." I'm like, "No, we need it because you guys keep trying
devils.
To break free."
A very strange friend of mine, his name's Murphy, he used to tell us that, you know when you're making hot chips in the oven and that one rogue trip will fall in the crease, will fall into the crease of the oven, you can never get it out.
Oh, yeah.
He would tape pens together for a device long enough to flick it out of the crease.
Brilliant.
I'm like, do you not have one utensil in your home long enough? He goes, no, the pen is the perfect size to just flick a chip out of the crease of the oven. He would
How
tape
often
them
is he
together.
Making... Golden.
He was not
oven
a healthy boy.
By McCain.
He was not a healthy
Murphy
boy.
Murphy was a big boy.
Murphy was a chip fan.
Right.
So yes, often that this contraption was in his home.
Yeah.
A bunch of pens taped together.
I don't often get nosebleeds, but when I do, I use the humble tampon
to
plug up the nose.
Really, like she's the man.
Yeah, to both sides plug up the nose stops the bleeding the best way, absorbs it very well.
Do you just rifle through your wife's handbag through
a
toiletries cabinet?
I've got my own.
Do you have your own stash?
Yeah, just never know when you're gonna get. I use my wife's.
Are you okay?
Yeah. I just self-edit myself on the fly there. I thought I did it seamlessly.
I don't even know what the end of that sentence could have been.
No, you don't want to. When did you
when
use
you get
something
your period?
For its intended purpose?
Your butt?
13, 10, 16.
Well, on the sanitary item train, producer Sophie.
Yeah, I've got one. So I went to New Zealand and fell in a creek and my exchange mum was drinking and was really drunk, so she didn't know what to do about like my leg being cut open and all bleeding. So she just stuck a huge nighttime pad on my leg and that was that. And I never got to a hospital and got stitches.
A little maxi pad.
That's good.
And did it heal up all right?
No, I absolutely should have gone to hospital.
All right.
Okay, not a replacement for Band-Aids. That needs to be on the Libra boxes.
13, 10, 60. When did you use something? Not for its intended purpose.
Shannon is in Fletcher. Good morning, Shan.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Great, thanks. What have you used, but not for its intended purpose?
Playing in a hockey tournament 10 years ago, I got pushed in the back and landed face first. So ended up having a blood nose that didn't want to stop and wanted to get back out on the field. So we cut a tampon in half and stuck it up there and out it went.
How good is it too? It just, you know, blocks it all.
And you just kept going with the tampon up your nose.
Yeah, couldn't breathe too well, but I was still able to get out there and play.
Tough to breathe, but you look like a warrior with the little strings hanging down.
Little walrus.
Sure
playing with your tongue, trying to catch the string.
Don't want to jiggle it. Come
out. Like a pun up my nose.
I remember getting whacked in the face, lost my front two teeth. And I used to chuck like PK chewing gum as my front two teeth.
Oh.
PK. I've not heard about PK in years.
Might have been juicy fruit, actually, because it was
juicy
slightly narrow.
Fruit.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Ah, geez.
It's very delicious teeth.
Steve England Martin on 13, 10, 60. When did you use something, not for its intended purpose?
Actually, a condom. I was driving a truck one day and the clutch went on the truck, so the clutch sleigh cylinder's got a little rubber on it.
Yep.
Yeah, we all know that.
Yeah,
of course, Steve.
Yeah.
We had a condom there, so we slipped that over that and tried to stop it leaking.
And it worked?
One push of the pedal and it blew, so I never tried it.
Okay, so the Trojans can be used for kayaks.
Or was it a Trojan condom that he used?
Not so much for trucks.
I don't know. It's too long ago to know.
Yeah. Probably one of those ones from the servo that you get.
Yeah, exactly. Can't be trusted, those ones.
Oh, definitely not. The Knight Rider.
They're not the Japanese engineering, you know.
No.
They're the ones that can hold up a kayak. That's what Steve needed.
Yeah, for the truck.
Jessica in Cessnock, when did you do something not for its intended purpose?
Hey, so it wasn't me. It was my housemate's friend who came down from Gunnedah. He forgot a belt, so he ended up using cable ties to hold his pants up.
I love that. The humble cable tie. I've used cable ties as hair ties before.
Yeah.
Really?
I was like, dang, because I don't have a hair tie.
For everything.
Yes, going to the gym. He goes, I've got cable ties in the back. I went, we'll see if it works.
I've done the shoelace for a broken fly. And then you just get the two closest belt loops.
I don't know the cable tie story. I feel a bit...
You've got to get some cable ties into your life, babe.
Absolutely. I need to...
So handy.
Tie some things.
And very 100%. Satisfying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then how do you get it off when you do it for your hair? Were you cutting that thing?
That... Yes. How did we get it off? Yeah, I think Angus had to cut it.
Okay.
Mm.
Very good. Right.
A couple of little snippers.
Yeah. Tara, in Toronto on 13 10 60. When did you use something not for its intended purpose?
Morning, guys. It wasn't me. My dad has some sort of tool that, like, mixes up grout and cement and things, but he had left it at home, and so he used my hand beaters.
Oh, just instead of making a cake, mix up some cement.
So was your meringue a bit gristly after that?
No, but I was a little bit scared about still putting them through the dishwasher.
Yeah.
Oh, clogging up the dishwasher.
That'll clog up the Bosch.
But did it work for
you? Well, I mean, I did rinse them first, but still.
Yes, of course. Yes. But did it work for your dad with his intended task?
I mean, I wasn't hanging around to watch, but I think so.
Fair.
Great.
Why would you?
Yeah.
It's exactly what we're after. Let's end with Josie in Butterba. Good morning, Jose.
Hi, how you going?
Great, thanks. Wrap this up for us on 13 10 60. What have you used but not for its intended purpose?
So we've used a wine cork as a bung in a boat. So sometimes you get down to the boat ramp, put the boat in and realise there's water coming in the back. Lucky I'm a wine drinker and, save the day with a wine cork.
Love that.
How did it fit though? Because that little bung hole's never wide
enough.
That's
got to be perfect,
doesn't it? You'd have to always...
You take it out when you get home to wash the boat out and it's the number one thing that the boys forget to put back in.
Yeah, you got to put the bung. Who didn't put the bungs in?
Ah, damn.
That was a classic.
No, we won't sob him in.
No, do it.
Josie's partner. Little
rascal.
Bungless man.
A lot of Aussies are making headlines internationally over at Tokyo, of course, making a lot of headlines. But one Aussie is making headlines in a different field. And she's a lot younger than any Olympian we have
seen. There's 13-year-old skaters.
I want to introduce you to Molly. She's from the Gold Coast, and she has just recently made history as the youngest person ever to do a TED Talk. Here is part of Molly's message.
What if I was to tell you that a game of peekaboo could change the world? Sounds impossible, right? Well, I'm here today to prove it's not. Hi, I'm Molly, and I'm 7. My talk today is about some powerful things you grown-ups can do that shape us as children and the adults we become. How do I know? Because my parents and people around me did them, early and often.
Understandably, Molly, the 7-year-old from the Goldie, is going viral for this TED Talk. And we have the pleasure of being joined by Molly this morning. Hi, Molly.
Oh, thanks. Hi.
Hi. Firstly, if it wasn't clear from that piece of your TED Talk we played, what did you speak to the world about during that TED Talk?
Well, the message is really about spending some time with your children and evening it out between your phone and your child, but it's just about noticing when your child is giving you a connection to play or they're asking you to put your phone down, anything like that. It's just about noticing when they want some attention and it's about giving them some back.
And from the people you've spoken to in your own talks, do you feel as though technology, while directly parenting, has any place in the household, Molly?
Oh, no, we're not judging parents because devices were made for using. We're not saying there's anything wrong with that, but we're saying just to even it out a little bit between your device and your child.
How do your parents feel about you doing this talk? Do they feel a bit bad, like they're on their phones too much, or do they support you?
They're not on their phones too much. They're fine.
They
both have a job where... My dad needs to work on his computer, but he spends a lot of time with me. So does my mom. And we all get a lot of family time. So that's my little brother. And it's really crazy because he's under 5 as well. And we do a lot of that stuff with him, which is a coincidence.
Cool. So, Molly, what inspired you to do this talk then? If your parents weren't doing these things, like in your video in the TED Talk, you show a little, looks like a toddler with a dad and he's very distracted on his phone. If you didn't grow up in a household like that, what inspired you to want to talk to the world about it?
Well, there was a nationwide call out for someone passionate to speak and deliver that message. And I got the job and suddenly I've had such an amazing experience doing that, which I'm very happy about.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. And so what's happened after this chat? It sounds like a few people are jumping on board and looking for your services.
Yeah, I've got a lot of messages from my family and friends, and my mum's phone's just going off, but...
Ironically, my mum
spends a lot of time with me too, which is really funny.
Can I jump in there?
Of course. Hi, Molly's mum.
Hello. And I'm going to pay Molly later for saying that because she keeps saying that we've not spent much time on our devices, but I think it's just been a recognition of when you're on your device, just noticing the serves, that especially children who can't speak, that they're giving to you. Mm. And it's been a great reminder for me, having Freddie, our three-year-old, he told me to put my phone down yesterday. So
wow.
That must be weird coming from a three-year-old being like, yeah, I've got to put this down.
Yeah,
I've got to take
like
this
they've
in.
Noticed.
Yeah.
And he can't, you know, speak tremendously well either, but that came out clear as day. But I think a lot of people have paid attention to the fact that Molly talks about devices. I think it's more so what simple games can do for a child's brain development. So I think that's the message that we really want to share around everywhere, just mm-hmm. really easy things that you can do that can make a huge difference.
And we need them now more than ever because of COVID, but we're just saying it's never too late to connect with your child.
Yeah, I love that, Molly. I mean, just yesterday after watching your video, I went for a walk with my husband and I noticed a dad out in a park with a little one and a ball, but he was on his phone and the little boy kept kicking the ball to his dad and he just sort of absentmindedly kicked it back. And I was just like, get off your phone. Molly said, get off your phone. Like, engage, you know what I mean? You're outside, it's a sunny afternoon, but still not engaging in that way. Yeah. And you could just tell the little kid looks so dejected. Yeah, yeah, it's
heartbreaking.
Yeah.
There's a few sides to it, isn't there? Because sometimes you might see 90% of the time that dad might be fully engaged with their child and all of a sudden they get this really important message through that, you know, they have to get back to. And then, you know, I'm guilty of it. I look at people, or I think people are looking at me and everybody's judging each other. And I think it's less of the judgment, especially from our part. Like, we're not judging anyone. This message isn't about, you know, get off your phones, your phones are the devil. It's about the science behind it, what scientists have said can happen magically to the neural connections if we engage. But it is heartbreaking, isn't it, when you see a child trying to make that contact with a grown-up. And it happens to me, especially with Freddie, especially yesterday.
Yeah.
My phone down, I was like, it's down.
I've done it. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah. And Molly is such a well-spoken young lady in a TED Talk. Big pressure in front of an audience, no teleprompter. Molly, I want to ask, how did you remember what to say in the TED Talk?
Well, I have done similar things to that where I learn my lines, and I got a long time to practice my lines for it, and I had quite a bit of lines. I haven't had that much, but I got a week to practice it, which I'm really grateful for because there was quite a lot to learn.
That doesn't sound like a very long time, Molly.
Yeah.
Welcome to Nick, Jess and Ducko's Bottom Three, celebrating the low points of the week on the show.
Funerals, what do we know about them? They're sad.
Number three.
We got this garbled mess from Ducko this week. And what was that, you ask? Well, would you believe it, that was actually an impression of Jess's dad, Rob Farcioni. Here's the whole thing.
Coming up as well, Inside 10, hear all about Jess and I's couple weekend.
Oh!
Did Jess, I was going to say, make a baby?
No, because people only heard that at 6 a.m. on Friday and now 8:30 on Monday, they're going to go, what did he just say?
It was a bit on, but we'll unpack
it. Did Jess make a baby? I mean, what a sentence. My dad just spat out his coffee.
Good morning, Mr.
Farcioni.
Number two.
Amazingly, though, that impression of Rob Farcioni wasn't the worst impression of this week. Although the honour of number one still goes to Ducko.
Justin Bieber and his peaches. The Biebs was recently posing with Conor McGregor.
Maybe he'll do a collab with the kid Leroy and Bieber.
Oh,
I reckon Conor could rap or something.
Yeah.
He'd do something like that.
He'd be like DJ Khaled, you know, he'd just yell in the background.
Yeah.
You thought you knew you'd... we the best music.
Keep going.
Okay.
Compose yourself.
You know. Well, now I'm going New York like Mayor Quimby.
Yeah, it's gone. Irish to New York.
Yeah, Mayor Quimby. Yeah.
That's the collab I pay for. That's the collab.
Oh, no, I've had a doozy.
Oh, God, Rob Thomas, hang on. I want to tell you about this app.
Hold on. Let me talk amongst yourselves really quietly while I fix myself.
Excited to learn about how you can make some money?
I'm really excited. Now pretend I said the funny thing again.
Number one. There was some gross stuff floating around on the show this week, starting with this weird reaction to Jess's offer for a Team J-Lo movie night.
Everyone come around to my house in my, like, bedroom that's in the living room and we'll watch Jiggly together.
You're right over there, mate.
And if that wasn't gross enough, Jody then gave us this confronting admission.
Jody in Cessnock, what's better than the hanky pank?
So I have to confess, guys, I'm a bit of a boogie picker. I don't mind it. But how good are the ones when you go for a good one and then realise it's a big stringer and it feels like it comes from your brain?
And then Jess, out of the blue, decided to ask Nick this very personal question.
How is your groin?
Oh, it's a bit sore.
And you injured it?
Yeah, I'm not just asking.
A bit intimate.
And that's it for Nick, Jess and Ducko's bottom three.
You thought you knew you'd